BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening! Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of BDNG Meets Podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG. And today I have great pleasure in introducing Gretchen Robertson, who I've been really fortunate enough to know for a few years now. One of her roles is that she's an integrative psychotherapist, and I know she's done a lot of work on this. And today she's talking about emotional triggers that can happen in nursing and how to manage them. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be very, very excited about this podcast. And we're going to be doing some excellent signposting as well, Gretchen, aren't we? So welcome today. Welcome. So can you just explain, Gretchen, how you got involved in this role and how you began your journey?
Thank you so much. And it's a true privilege to be on this podcast. I have really enjoyed all of my interactions with BDNG. And I was on stands there for years and years. And I enjoyed meeting each and every single one of the nurses that ever hit the stand. And that's how I got to meet you.
Thank you. So
fortunate to be in this position. Yes. So my background was actually in the creative world. And I always had a sort of calling to go into mental health, but I'm one of these people that likes to do a lot of different things. So I went from fashion, believe it or not, into medical, which seems really strange. As a pharma rep, I worked with GSK for a long time in tribal health. I also worked with a variety of other diagnostic companies. So I worked with Genova Diagnostics, which is an elite diagnostic company that covers lots of different assays, including genomics and female hormones. So I was able to integrate with a lot of incredible minds from all around the world. I worked as their national manager there. And then where I met you, Tina, in the world of dermatology was at Eucerin. So that's where I was so privileged to meet everyone. But while I was at Eucerin, I was training as a psychotherapist. So during my training, I had the privilege of supporting people in triage helplines as part of my clinical hours that we had to do. I think I had to do something like 660 clinical hours. It was all virtual. So I had a lot of people just ringing up and needing support. And because I was also working at Eucerin with a lot of people on the front line, I got to have an insight for a lot of the healthcare providers, including doctors, consultants, trainee, nurses, the lot, what it was like for them managing through an isolated, terrifying time for some, stressful, you know, lots of moving parts happening for everyone. So it gave me a huge amount of compassion and empathy for the nursing profession, experiencing how that was. And when we come to this point where I'm now fully qualified, working part-time with a healthcare brand, I have recognized more so just how mental health is still ongoing as a concern, not just for the layperson, but for the medical practitioner.
I think it's so important, Gretchen, isn't it? And, you know, the true words, what you've said there, you know, the experiences people went through when we had COVID and, you know, the fear really of what nurses, doctors went through as well. So, you know, and I have, as I said, I've been very fortunate to know you for a few years now, and I know how passionate you are about looking after both your people that you see, your patients that you see, but also, you know, the healthcare professionals that you meet along the road as well. So I know a lot of hard work that you've put into the background of this. And when did you realize that, you know, this was a real, well, it is a talent that you have, you know, you're naturally warm with people. When did you feel that, you know, this was needed within the healthcare professional? Was it on the back of COVID, or was it, you know, something that you thought about for a long time?
I think it started with when I worked at GSK. So I worked in travel health. So my focus was the nurses, right? So it was all the advice that nurses were giving in primary care around vaccination. And I remember, really, I came straight out of fashion. So, I mean, I was kind of learning everything at the deep end. This is going back like 20 years ago. So things were a little bit different back then. And the nurses had such passion. So the nurses I worked with, who were reps, as well as the ones I spoke to, the passion around vaccination. And I know that this is a really hot button topic, so I don't want to go into all that stuff. But particularly around hepatitis B and the people who needed it and the people that were ill with hep A versus hep B, but the vaccinations were more available for B than A, and sort of thinking about like, hang on a minute, yeah, this is kind of complicated. And the nurses have a strong amount of compassion for their patients and their family members. And this is kind of all intertwined as a caring profession, but also a clinical profession that has its own guidance and responsibility to patient, but also responsibility to, at that time, it was the PCT. You know, it was kind of very kind of, what's the word I want to find? Complicated. Mm-hmm. And maybe not recognized for the burden that was placed on the individual trying to respond to all of the responsibilities across the request. Yeah. So I think once I got through years and years of working in that and sort of the sort of medical pharmaceutical side and then moving into COVID, that was amplified because it felt even more high pressure and isolating. So I realized I wanted to help, and I applied to all sorts of different organizations, but it was just so slow. Everything was so difficult. So I just maintained friendships. That's what I did. I just supported, anybody who wanted to talk to me, really. And just privately, and quietly supporting anyone who wanted to speak to me. And if I could help, I did. And I didn't necessarily break their trust or share it with anyone else, but I just wanted to be there wherever I could.
Supporting people. You're very good at that. I know that, Gretchen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you see people now, you've got a regular clientele, and do you see people face-to-face or do you see them online, or how does it work?
So I see a variety of clients 2 days a week, mixed of online and face-to-face. So the beauty of being online means that I can help people who aren't in London, which is where I'm based. But I try to make my private practice, which I have at home, as welcoming and calm and as therapeutic as possible. And it really suits me and it suits them. Gradually and eventually that will expand, you know, number of days as we go along. At the moment, I've got a little bit of a waiting list, which is really wonderful.
That's positive.
Thank you. And I plan to qualify as a psychodermatologist, sort of psychodermatology side of things, in the sort of upcoming sort of months. So this is something that I'm just working towards quietly in the background.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. You know, it's quite inspiring. And, you know, as a nurse in the profession in dermatology, we know how much, you know, our patients need that extra help. You know, quality of life is really affected. And then we also see the extreme of patients. I know we've kind of spoken about this, Gretchen, but, you know, we do see people with safeguarding issues. Yeah. And I think that's a real difficult position for a nurse to be in. We know we have our NHS policies, but again, what do we do? Signposting, you know, it can put nurses in a difficult position. So we've got two aspects here I'd like to talk to you about, you know, how we look after ourselves and what we can do to help our nursing profession, but also how do we signpost to our patients? How do we do this?
This is really important. I think particularly as we're speaking about dermatology nursing, there may be evidence that appears or body bruising or certain things that will trigger a concern. The issue with domestic abuse is that often it takes quite a while for someone to leave that environment. And for the individual to recognize that it is in fact abuse. So actually addressing it with the patient can be really difficult, and also for the patient to take your lead. Now, the other half of this, you know, and obviously there are a load of different, just before I move on, but there's a load of different websites like Women's Aid, NCDV. There's even men who also suffer from domestic abuse. There's the Men's Advice Line, victim support. I mean, there's loads of places to go, right? But do we ever really think about how the nurse may be triggered because their own personal life, their own personal history, you know, the world isn't just about that sort of robotic, I'm going to help my patients. You're real people, you know, with mm-hmm. real histories and potentially even living in an environment which you may not realize is not quite as healthy as it could be. And then you see someone and it triggers. I mean, as a psychotherapist, my clients come in the room and often they'll say things and I'll go, oh yeah, I know what that's like. You know, mm-hmm. you see often what you need to see, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. sometimes something will come up and it will remind you of your own personal experience. And it's not so easy to compartmentalize. And I guess what I'm offering today is the opportunity to recognize when there's triggers, because sometimes it happens super quick. And how does one manage that? So how do you take yourself out of that situation so that you can function from your center?
That's really important, because that is, you know, a very important statement there. We take on this, well, in a way, the patient's burden in a way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, in a way, as a nurse and professional, we deal with that in a way. But then, you know, when we walk away from that, we might have this adrenaline sort of pumping through our body at the time. But then when you walk away from that, that's when you can feel mentally just drained or upset. Or, you know, I'll openly admit I have cried in those toilets. And what do we do as nurses, you know, to help ourselves? Because wellness is so important, isn't it, for the nurse? You know, we know about these triggers, but how do we manage ourselves?
Exactly. So there's little, I'm going to give a couple of little hacks, if that could help.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discussion about the parasympathetic nervous system and working with overriding trauma. One of the things that gets spoken about a fair bit on social media, which is actually genuinely helpful, is cold. Okay. Using ice. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you've held it together, you know, maybe you need a little cry. Like, I think there's nothing wrong with that. Allowing it to flow, allowing the emotion to have a chance to be recognized and released. But I think it can be difficult to move through to the next thing that you need to do with that residual emotion. So one thing that can be helpful, you can get a hold of some ice, placing it right here on your sternum. So placing it here on your chest, just and holding it, can sometimes help to relieve that overwhelm. I don't know if you've ever tried it.
I have never tried it, but this sounds really interesting because I have tried the ice baths. I must admit, now I'm a fan of those.
You like those? Okay,
I love
great.
Them, yeah. So I'm quite interested in this. Yes, absolutely.
If you can't get a hold of the ice, rinsing your hands in really cold water. Okay. If you can splash your face, that's even better, but sometimes that's just not possible. I mean, some of us have really worked hard on that mascara that morning. You don't want to ruin it. So, you know, play just, you know, literally very, very cold water on the hands or right on the chest, or placing your cold hands on your chest and allowing yourself to breathe, will help to just regulate, to destimulate the nervous system enough so that you can just take a pause and re-enter the situation. Because when we're talking about something like domestic violence, domestic abuse, those triggers could be old material. So that could be something, nothing that you even remember particularly cognitively in the moment. And that can have an influence through the whole of your day. Yeah. And it can take a while to get back to yourself. And this can also be even something that hasn't happened with the patient. It could be something that you've heard in passing through the corridors of the hospital, something that you've seen, and it's a trigger that takes a second. So having that little hack, if you've gone in, you've had a little cry, you've really used that cold water, you've got a cold drink, you've kept something maybe in a fridge that you can just use to just regulate.
Yeah, I can understand that would work, actually, because even if you're in a hospital environment or a primary care environment, you could, you know, go to that bathroom and use that cold water in quite a positive way, couldn't you? And mm-hmm. and think about your breathing and take that sort of back step, you know, which could be done in even minutes, couldn't it? That just sort of de-stress just slightly.
Yeah.
No, I can understand how that would definitely help. What about, you know, is there other triggers that you would see or you've heard or come across that you could help with? You know, if a person was extremely stressed,
yes.
or, you know, it was sort of accumulating, you know, because we all have our bad moments, that's natural, and we can deal with some of these, but, you know, if this is an ongoing thing for both patients and staff, what how would you deal with that?
So definitely sort of the accumulation of stress can sometimes put us into those stages of completely shutting off. They call it almost compassion fatigue, where there's literally no response to anything. So you feel numb, right?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to go from numb to absolutely perky, bright as a button, Disneyland princess world, right? This is stages. So when we're at, if you think of it as like fight, flight, or freeze being at the bottom, you may find that potentially you go to fight as the next stop. So you might be irritable. You might really be struggling with managing your anger, but this can be managed in a healthy way. So self-care, obviously we can say self-care all the time, and you've got this fabulous wellness app, and you've got the wellness app on BDNG's umbrella of wonderful resources, but also walking in nature, if possible. Can you, when you're feeling frozen, you're feeling shut down, can you find a moment to sit amongst trees, even if it's in the car park?
Yeah.
And just try some mindfulness breathing. So that is a focused breath of feet on the floor or laying down on your back, hands on your lap or hands rested on your abdomen. And really focusing on the sensation of the breath coming over the top of the lip. So you can kind of feel it. So it really gives you an opportunity to recognize you're in a body. You're not just in your head. You're not just working on automatic. You can feel the breath passing over your lip, both in and out, but an exhale of 3 seconds. So count to three, one, two, three, out. And then pause for 4 seconds. And then pause, and then inhale, one, two, three, in, and then holding it 4 seconds. But it just brings awareness into the breath.
It does. I hope everyone's practicing this, because it does make a difference.
That's just about bringing you back into your body, letting your body know that it's safe to rest. If after that, and I've had this experience myself, you feel like fighting a little bit, you're a bit irritable, there's two really good things. This is going to sound really weird. I've done this with my clients in practice and they think I'm completely insane, but I really like it. Get yourself a pillow in your socks, sitting down. I've nicked this from Gabor Mate. He's fabulous at this stuff. Pretending to run while you're sitting down.
Okay.
Like stomping your feet on a pillow. Stomp, 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 stomp. Like you really get that flight thing out. Or banging your fists onto a pillow somewhere private. Like maybe you do it on your coat. You roll up your coat and you put that coat on your lap and you punch, 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 and just, you know, back and forth with those fists until you feel tired. Because it's quiet, it's private, it's allowing the body to release some of what's in those muscles that needs to be worked out physically. If you can get to, if you can hold it till you get to the gym, if you can go for a run, if you can do all of those other fabulous things, stretching, there's some great somatic stretches you can do. All of that stuff is great. But in the moment, sometimes we need a good scream in a pillow.
So it's like getting rid of that negativity, isn't it, really?
But is it really negativity? That's the thing. It's just a natural human response. We're animals at the end of the day. We have an adrenal response, an adrenal reaction to something that is threatening. So let's say stress is not a natural thing to be all the time. It's okay to have it sometimes, but we're not designed for prolonged stress. And it has an impact just on us from adrenal fatigue, where you just feel like you just can't get out of bed, to just feeling anxious all the time, to having huge amounts of cortisol in the body, and that has its own impacts on us hormonally. But allowing the body to express it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And I, that is quite a simple technique, really, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you can actually do quite simply as well, you know, which is really positive, Gretchen, because these are not aspects of wellness or care or self-care that, you know, is difficult to do. They're quite straightforward.
And they're free.
They're free, which is even more positive. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, there's loads of other little hacks that I give to my patients. One of them, create a playlist.
Okay.
I don't know if you like music.
Yes, love music. And that's what I do stress with, actually. I have got a playlist, yeah.
Having a playlist of all your favorite songs from when you were between the ages of 11 and 13.
Okay.
Really helps increase dopamine. I don't know, this is like anecdotal. I don't know if it's really based in science, but I know it helps me.
Mm-hmm.
When you have music from a very particular time in your life that was happy. So not everybody who's listening, that will be their happiest time. So I recognize that. But maybe there's an age that you think, you know, that was my happiest point. And what was their favorite song? Or what was their favorite 10 songs?
Yeah.
And create a playlist that you can go back to, and you play yourself in those moments where you're going to go for a run or as a treat afterwards, to bring you back to a safer space.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do listen to the 80s a lot, given my age away now. But yeah, happy times. So yes, absolutely.
I mean, I have a little playlist, which I think I call it my 12-year-old playlist. And in my most triggered periods, where you have prolonged, when I've really had the prolonged stress, like I really feel like the wolf is at my back, I can listen to that on my way to and from wherever I'm going in the car. Yeah. I can listen to that and start to sing. Sometimes you'll start to sing along with it. And that singing also has a distressing impact. So I think it's like some, again, anecdotal studies around new mums suffering with postnatal depression joining singing groups.
Okay.
And again, that really helps to not only the community of singing together. So maybe nurses might want to start humming, and maybe you want to hum along with some of your fellow nurses while you're in the break room. That also has a great impact. That humming sensation also calms the nervous system. The singing really can help lift the mood, regulate you, and take your mind, distracting yourself from the triggers.
Music has a big part to play, doesn't it? I think in
yeah.
a lot of people's lives. And again, it's something that it does make you happy. You do listen to songs that do remind you of certain aspects in your life as well. And you know,
yeah.
now it's all going into my mind now that this my tracks that I have, my playlist. So yeah, absolutely. I'll probably be thinking more about it now.
That's so good. That makes me so happy. And when I find, and I wonder if you'll find this, Tina, when I made my little playlist, more songs came to mind as I was making
absolutely.
The playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found myself going, oh my God, I forgot that song. That's amazing. You know, and
yeah.
you just know all the words, and everyone around you thinks you've completely lost the plot listening to this weird, weird and wonderful music. But it does have a lightening effect on on the emotional load that we carry.
It does indeed. It does. And it does make a difference, definitely. And I think, you know, I mean, I when I go into my clinical role, I walk to work and I have my, you know, earphones in and listen to my 80s music, I'll admit it. And it does make me feel happier. It definitely does. Yeah, definitely does. So this is amazing tips for us all. Is there anything else that you feel that helps that we could think about you know, practice?
Yes. So I love sort of business world sort of books and things. And there's this amazing book, which is called Rules of Work by Templar. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at something there. And this is kind of like off piece slightly. But perhaps when it's something else, so maybe it's something that's happening at work with between colleagues, because I understand that that can also be really challenging within the nursing profession, just the interaction between each other, because it's a very emotional role to mm-hmm. even though it's extremely clinical, there is an element of the emotional that plays a part. But to remember that each threat can actually be an opportunity.
Okay.
So recognizing in the moment, what's actually happening here? If you can do it, sometimes we can't, okay? Sometimes it's too much. But let's say something happens within your day and it's really triggered you. You know, someone said something you didn't like, maybe it was a patient, maybe it was a colleague, you didn't like the tone. Recognizing it's important to remain as calm as possible, which is of course part of the professionalism, which of course I'm sure most people are. But when you can de-escalate, and you've been given some tools for that, recognizing that there could be an opportunity to grow and to change. So where can this be used as fuel to elevate your skill set, elevate your emotional bandwidth? Where can this be used to improve you as a professional individual? That only can happen with regulation. So once we've done these breathing exercises, once we've calmed ourselves down, we realize that this is a job, this is a role, this is a profession, this is a privilege as well. You have to really work hard to get where you are. How can this be, I'm going to use the word alchemized because it's just my own psychotherapy practice. How can we turn this into something of value? Right? Yeah. So a colleague has said something to you that's particularly triggering, or used a tone, or somebody isn't necessarily pulling their weight in the way that you would like them to, or you're under a lot of pressure and you've gone and you've sat outside in the car park and you've calmed yourself down and you've washed your hands in cold water and you've really brought yourself down to a place where you can think. You've done this and miraculously in 10 minutes. I don't know if that's possible, but like, let's say it happened. Then you can look at it differently. Well, like, how is this an opportunity for me? Where can I grow through this? What is it that's causing me to feel so triggered? Does it relate to something that's nothing to do with this role? Where can I get support to deal with it better? Journaling is great. If you can jot something down on your phone, on your, you know, like the notes app,
yeah.
This is what's happened. This is how it's made me feel. Fine. If you want to leave yourself a voice note, talk it through with your voice note, get it out into the voice note. Your voice note is your therapist. Doesn't have to speak back. Just, you know what I mean? Just speak into your voice note, capture it, let it go. If it's helpful, you can look at it again and say, okay, what happened there? What is the opportunity for me to recognize where I've got areas for growth? And there are therapeutic options to reach out to. So if it is something that's something to do with work, it's something from your past that's caused you to feel triggered, by all means, I'm going to leave a load of resources there for low cost or even free opportunities to speak. I mean, you can always call Samaritans. I know Samaritans is really the domain of people who are severely at risk, but you can just speak to them about the moment. feeling overwhelmed. They're there to listen and they answer the phone. Go to them. Speaking to colleagues can be tricky. You know, sometimes that doesn't feel safe. But maybe there's a family member or a close friend that you can speak to. And whatever it takes, if you speak into that app, leave it there. It's like one of the ones from 12 Steps. So leave it in that space. Give yourself a chance to switch off and relax. Try not to take things too personally. There's a great book called The Four Agreements, which talks about not taking things too personally. It's an ancient indigenous wisdom, which talks about the four agreements of life, which one of them, like I said, is to realize that everybody's operating in their own little bubble. They don't, not everybody realizes exactly how their behavior is impacting you. We're kind of sometimes unaware of how much the tiniest thing impacts another. So being able to not take it too personally, relax, and try to find the tiniest thing to enjoy. Does that mean a little bit of chocolate, maybe? Does it mean just a cup of tea in peace? But carve a little space for yourself to be grateful that you're breathing, that you're still here, that you can take this moment. And then when you feel regulated, get back on the horse, as it were. Hope that's helpful.
Yes. It's really helpful. I've obviously heard about journaling, and you know, I know a lot of people that do journals, and I've done that myself as well. But I'd never thought of the voice note. I'd never thought of that. So, and yeah, that was something that could easily be done, couldn't it? And you know, like you say, you could park it or revisit, or you know, there's, it's taking that moment and then taking that other moment where you can eat the chocolate, or you know, look at a tree, or get that positivity from that aspect of, you know, I'm still here, I'm still breathing. So that's, it's all really valuable, quick, free resources that you're saying here, because there is a lot of, there's a lot of resources out there, isn't there, Gretchen? There's a lot of paid resources, there's a lot of help out there, but a lot of it, you know, is very much you have to pay for it, and a lot of these apps and things, you know. So it's really useful today to get some of the tips that actually, you know, can be done quite easily as well. Is there, I mean, talking about apps and signposting, and I know you're very going to be you know, providing us with some really valuable resources on the back of this podcast, but is there anything that you would go, you know, say to a client or somebody like myself that, you know, you would recommend?
It's really funny. There's two things that I really like, and they're a little bit off piste. It's just my own personal thing that I find really helps. I go on YouTube, find John Kabat-Zinn. He's the king of mindfulness. He has some really fabulous meditations. He does walking meditations. He does sitting ones. And I know some people think, I can't meditate. Okay, the idea is like, you practice meditation. it's a practice. It's not a perfection of meditation, right? So it's okay to sit with yourself. That's like the first thing, to be present with yourself and recognize, and this is my visualization around meditation, is to realize that your thoughts are kind of like watching traffic. So as long as you realize we can look out a window and watch traffic, we're not tempted to go and run and jump on one of them and see where it's going. That's what we do with our thoughts. We just literally allow them to flow and to pass. And John Kabat-Zinn does a great job with that. Eckhart Tolle does some great meditations as well. The Calm app is great. Problem with that, they do have a paid version, which is a bit of a drag, because you obviously, you know, may not want to pay that much money every year. But the YouTube side of things is free. You may have to tolerate ads, but there we are. But TikTok has some really fabulous resources. So because it's just on a loop, they have things like binaural beats, which are just noises. And they claim that they do all sorts of things, and there's evidence that's claimed that they benefit. But sometimes it's nice to just hear a sound that you focus in on while you're meditating to distract the overthinking. I can add a couple of content creators, which are really helpful, that create some really wonderful affirmations. I mean, I think affirmations are nice, but they're not for everybody. Am I an affirmation person? I'm not really sure. Do I recommend that for my clients? Not really. I think hearing your own voice, using that voice recording, this is something I actually do with some of my clients, hearing your own voice, remembering a good day. So let's say you go to work, you have a good day, or you are out on a weekend or with your friends and you feel fabulous. Record it. Record your own self on a voice note saying how wonderful you feel, how the things that you were worried about yesterday, last week, last month, last year have gone. I call it my greatest hits when with my clients. I say, okay, record your greatest hits. Do you remember 1 year ago you were paralyzed with anxiety? Do you remember you really thought life was hopeless and you really had this awful boss? But look where you are now. You're still standing. You're thriving. Look at you blooming like a flower. Like, you are really doing it. Record that for yourself. Not the bad stuff, the good stuff.
The good stuff. That's interesting. Very interesting. The greatest hits. I like that.
Your greatest hits. You got to remember, record it. And it's just for you. So when you feel low, you go back to your greatest hits. You remember, I did that. I've just done something I didn't think I could do. There might have been a challenge within your nursing practice that maybe was a bit worrying, but you got through it and you excelled, or you got some great feedback. Pop that onto a voice note, go back to it, listen to yourself, because you are more likely to receive your own voice saying something than maybe someone else. Yeah, might just go in.
Very true. It's free. They're all free. It's fantastic. They're all free. Absolutely. And I think that's it. I mean, nursing itself is a roller coaster ride. Totally. You know, you've got your ups, you've got your downs, you've got your, oh my goodness. And I think, yeah, we're very good at maybe focusing more on the sort of negativities and the stress and the, oh my goodness, we've no time to do this. And then actually there's a lot of good stuff in there that we do, you know, and that could be anything from a patient even very briefly saying thank you, you know. There's a lot of positivities that we should really more focus on and have them in our greatest hits. Definitely
always remember your greatest hits. And it's very easy to forget how incredible we are. It could even be personal stuff, you know. There's been a challenge at home, there's been a tough conversation, there's been something with your child, maybe the child is struggling and you've had one great day. Make a note of it.
Absolutely.
You've had one day when your teenager did not scream out, you know, or you know, woke up on time, you know, and you've managed to do all the things that you'd hoped to do in that day. Record it.
That is, yeah, absolutely. That would be a miracle with teenagers waking up on time, wouldn't it? Absolutely.
It would. It's almost unheard of.
Absolutely. That would be a definite great hit. Well, I cannot thank you enough. I think you've given us some amazing tips there. Absolutely. It's been wonderful to speak to you. And I feel so much better already just by speaking to you the last 40 minutes or so. So, you know, you've gone through the breathing, you've gone through the pillow, you've gone through your TikTok even. I'd never even thought of TikTok. The voice notes, I think, is such a good aspect of care that I'd never thought of as well. You know, focusing in on what we have in life and little sort of ideas that we can actually even do within the hospital or within your primary care setting as well, which is really positive, because we do have those bad moments. And I think, you know, to focus on ourselves is so important. And that was the meaning behind this podcast today, Gretchen. So as I say, I can't thank you enough. The great news is that we have more podcasts with Gretchen lined up. So if anyone was enjoyed this podcast today, watch out on the BDNG website, because we have a future podcast. Gretchen is a very known figure, usually at some of the conferences. So always say hello. And it's been a joy. Thank you so much, Gretchen, today for taking the time and recording this podcast today.
I am so grateful for this opportunity, and I am so happy to help all of you wonderful nurses and to be part of something that helps your lives become better, because you do an infinite amount of things that make our world better every single day by getting up and showing up. And I want to support you doing that as much as I can.
That's a very, very positive note to end this podcast on. Thank you. And
my pleasure.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.